All right. Got a feeling like today is going to be one of those days. Actually, it has been one of those days. It's a day's off. It's a holiday. It's a little bit slow. A little bit fun. You know, like normal. But my name is Steve. This show is called Freight Broker Live. It is the one and only talk show run by someone who actually works day to day in the industry as a freight broker. I have been doing it for a long time. Love and hate it. You know, it's one of those relationships. But I also run the site, freightbrokerlive.com, which is a news and media site geared towards those who work in the industry, those who actually live and breathe logistics. That's kind of my goal, is to provide as much insight and breaking news and trainings and all sorts of stuff within the trucking industry. Without further ado, here's my intro. See, you can tell I'm not really into it today. It's a holiday. I'm not really feeling like singing. Plus, my wife and kids are all hiding in the back room over here. So, whatever. But today is February 17th. It is 2:01 everywhere. Well, on the East Coast, it's 2:01. It is Monday. It's a holiday. It's hot as hell here in Florida, like always. And who knows? We're just going to jump right into it. I don't know. I'm kind of feeling a little weird today. I'm feeling off, feeling, blah, whatever. But we'll get started and we'll talk about some news. So if you guys don't know, my name is Steve. Again, I am the host of this show and all other shows produced by Freight Broker Live. We've got some new ones coming out this week, finally. Anyway, but yeah, we'll talk. I know there is. I took it off. Anyway, so first thing we're going to do is talk about some news. So if you go over to my website, which is freightbrokerlive.com, you're going to be able to see all the current news that we have and that we've written about. And the first one was a story that actually, it's been picked up by a couple of people. This is about a trucker that was shot by a security guard in Oklahoma on Friday morning. Apparently, he parked in a reserved parking spot at 4:30 in the morning. Maybe he was tired. Maybe, who knows what the background is, because nobody's saying anything. But according to the Oklahoma City Police Department, around 4:30 a.m., they received a 911 call about gunfire at the TA Travel Center near I-40 in West Oklahoma City. Upon arriving, police discovered a trucker was shot in the chest after being shot by a security guard over a dispute over a reserved parking spot. I did speak to the Oklahoma City Police this morning. They said the driver's condition has been upgraded, so he is in stable condition. He looks like he's going to make a full recovery, according to the PIO officer that I spoke to. He didn't have any insight onto anything else that transpired or whether the security guard was going to be charged or anything, said he couldn't really go. I mean, this is stupid. This is not the first, related fight or shooting or anything that has to do with truck parking. You know, as Attree said, it's the number 5 top critical issue in transportation in 2019. That is the lack of truck parking. it's nuts. People are shooting each other over truck parking, over paid or non-paid parking. If it's $15 and you have to pay the money, or find someplace that doesn't, but don't shoot each other. There was just another shooting in Colorado where 2 people were shot. In this very same truck stop last year, had someone else that was shot, and almost a year ago, next month on the 28th, it'll be a year. The very same truck stop. That one we couldn't, the police officer didn't know whether that guy was all right or what the incident was, but don't shoot each other over parking spots. If you're in a fuel aisle, that was another article that's been going around. It was an older article, but there was a article about someone that was shot, or there was gunfire because someone was parked too long at the fuel aisle. Come on, guys. Use your head. Use your head. That's all I could say about that. Because, I mean, it's not good news. It's not something I'm happy to report on. Here's one I talked about on Friday. I actually wrote an article on it, which you could find, again, freightbrokerlive.com. You could see it here. So this is an article I wrote about this guy. This trucking company apparently thought it would be a good idea September of last year to give their driver or a random employee $191,500 and a plane ticket to Cleveland from Tampa and say, hey, go buy five tractor trailers. So, of course, he got to the airport. His story didn't make sense. Why are they sending money? Blah, 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 blah. The government takes the money. So the government ended up seizing $181,500, but there's a discrepancy because they say they only received $159,950, which is a difference of roughly $26,000. But the government is seizing it under Title 18 USC Section 981, claiming that it's proceeds of the manufacture, sale, or distribution of a controlled substance. Which doesn't make any sense because, one, they have no evidence that this trucking company has anything to do with drugs that we know of, that I could find. The lawsuit was filed by the trucking company. I did pull the actual lawsuit, and it was very vague in what they were doing. It just said, hey, listen, our guy got stopped. We were sending him up because the people that they were buying the trucks from, the guy that they were buying the five trucks from, was nervous about getting fake checks or fake wires or fake anything. So they gave $191,000 to a driver, a company employee. It didn't say he was a manager. He wasn't an owner. But they gave $191,000 to an employee and said, hey, go up here and buy these five trucks. How is one guy going to drive five trucks back? I have no idea. The whole situation seems fishy. So I can kind of see why the government's like, hey, we're not going to give back the money. But then again, you can't just go and seize money. Well, apparently you can. But, you know, they're suing on two grounds. One, they're suing because the government took their money. Secondly, they're suing because they had no reason to actually stop this guy. It's not a crime to possess that amount of money on a domestic flight. There was all sorts of other stuff. I didn't end up putting it in here, but a lot of the other articles said that after they filed this lawsuit, the government pulled back some of their clearance for fast entry into the United States if they travel abroad. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that is just really weird that it's not easily found out. You know, it's not even a big trucking company to have an extra $200,000 lying around. The company has 24 trucks, according to Safer now. So it's not a big trucking company. They're based in Tampa. At the point of this, they only had 20 trucks, according to the original article that I saw with the Tampa Bay Times. So it's something that is just really, really fishy. And of course, I put that article out and it did really well. A lot of people read it. A lot of people had comments on it. You know, a lot of people feel the same way, that it's screwy. You know, but just like David Quackelbaum said on Facebook, they have to prove it. They have to prove what the money was good for in order to get it back. Unfortunately, that's just the way it works. So we talked in detail. So I'm going to jump into my little bit. Actually, before I tackle Amazon, you guys may remember this. This is a rate con I showed last week. Let me just talk about some of the highlights. I know it's pretty small and I apologize. Let me see if I can make it any bigger without totally screwing up this page. All right, so if you guys look, this is a rate con by a company named Millhouse Logistics. So I spent a lot of time, so I'm not going to talk about it too much. So this is a rate con one of the viewers sent in to me saying, okay, layover is $75 a day. Detention pay is $25 a day. Truck order not used is $75 max. They have all these conditions on how much you can get paid and whether you're like stipulations. Let me try to get to that because I can't see it here. So, you know, cancellations and all this stuff. If customer needs to deliver shipment to a different facility, the carrier will receive the same rate per mile on additional miles with the addition to a one-stop-off charge in the amount of $50. POD must be uploaded through ePay within 24 hours of delivery or a $50 penalty will be applied per day. But the interesting thing about this is the driver who did do this load sent me a message today saying that his email isn't working with this e-pay thing. So he's curious on whether or not he's going to get a rate reduction. Now there's the way they break up the line haul, which you could see right here. I can't highlight it, but the way they break up the, can I highlight it? Does it show? Here, let me see this right here. So it says line haul is 60% of the pay. On-time delivery is 15% of the pay. MacroPoint is 15%, or you get 50, or if you don't use MacroPoint, you'll get 15%. Now, the funny thing is they require MacroPoint tracking, but they called this driver. He kept sending me all the emails and all this stuff. They called him incessantly. They sent him emails at 4:30 in the morning for tracking, even though they have MacroPoint. They gave his phone number to the customers and had the customers calling him. It's crazy. You know, it's just, it's sad. I mean, this whole thing, and to top it off, they weren't even credit approved by his broker or by his factoring company, which is another whole issue in itself. So, I mean, that's why you should be doing your due diligence when you book loads, guys. Do your credit checks, do all that stuff. And if you see a rate confirmation that has this many, like, this is insane. It's insane. If it has, you know, rates and terms that are this long, detention is case by case. Detention's not case by case. I don't know. It's just, it's nuts. It's nuts to me. So and speaking of Amazon, because a lot of stuff came out since I covered this on Friday. So we know of all the companies. I'll run through them again. So Amazon is basically purging their contractor base. I spoke to someone in length for over an hour that has intimate knowledge of how this all works. But let me give a little bit of background. So Friday, we started hearing about massive layoffs. So I was the first freight media outlet to report. And then other people, while I was making the video, tried to put out articles, but I scheduled my article to go out in the middle of a video. Anyway, RCX Logistics is laying off 66 people in Alabama, 500 throughout the state of Texas, 72 in Florida. Bear Down Logistics is laying off 287 people, 105 of them are in Ohio. Plus, they may be laying off additional people in Michigan and Wisconsin. Express Parcel Services is laying off well over 300 people between Florida and Georgia. Delivery Force, again, well over 300 people in Washington and Kentucky. Express Pack Services in North Carolina, 51 people. Greenwich Logistics is laying off nearly 500 people. And of course, you know, Pinnacle, who is laid off close to 3,500, all because Amazon is insourcing their freight. So let me explain what that means, because I noticed a lot. The article did very, very well. It went kind of viral this weekend. So let me explain a little bit of what that means. So Amazon is they have a program, what's called the Legacy Program. So this is where they use outside parties to do their deliveries. So they hire, you know, Bear Down Logistics or whatever the hell it was, which is not through their franchise program. This is essentially a third-party logistics company with their own DOT, their own MC number, and all that stuff that UPS contracts to handle all their freight. Or not UPS, Amazon handles to use all their freight. Now, they used to use UPS, and then UPS said, ha, it's not good for us. They used to use FedEx, and then FedEx said, ha, it's not good for us. They tried with the Postal Service. The Postal Service said, just like everything else we do, this isn't good for us. So they started using what they're calling their legacy program, or that's their new name for it. Whereas they use outside delivery carriers, get them to, it's pretty brilliant. If you think of it from a strategic standpoint, it's quite brilliant. So what they do is they have all these lanes and they expand and they allow all these companies to expand. The trucks that all these vans that you see using, they're all run through Amazon's leasing program. So they're not even with the non-franchise guys, because the franchise program is labeled as 2.0. So again, keep that in mind. So when Amazon is pulling these contracts, wait, there's more. Let me try to say it in order. So all the vehicles that these guys are using, are they're Amazon lease vehicles. So when Amazon pulls the contracts, guess what? They pull their vehicles back and they go to their franchise guys. All the warehouses they use, for the most part, pretty much all of them, all the warehouses that they use are Amazon warehouses. So it's not even their own warehouses. They don't have the contract with the warehouses. These are Amazon warehouses that they're picking up and delivering from. So these trucking companies strictly are providing the employees. And again, this is not the middle mile stuff. This isn't the 53-foot dry van trailers that you see running around. This is strictly the final mile, or there's some bulk and heavy, which are being affected by this as well. But it's pretty much the final mile, guys. These blue vans that you see on my screen now that are running around. This is a big article I did on it last week. But that's mostly what they are. They're not, as Josh Marco said on YouTube, DSP, delivery service providers. That's what they are. They're now calling that program their legacy program because they're fading it out. It's like it's a legacy. So they're basically what they're doing now is they've started replacing all these DSP programs, these DSP carriers, with these franchise, which they're calling 2.0, DSP 2.0, which are people that basically are franchisees. They're running under Amazon's numbers. They're the employees are outside. So, for example, say I wanted to do it. I go through their process. I go up and do their training for 3 weeks. I, you know, give them money for the vans and all that stuff. They end up giving me a bunch of vans, and I end up having a territory I run. The thing that's different about the 2.0 versus the DSP legacy program that they had is the new program, you can't branch out. So you can't have like Miami and Orlando. You're only allowed to have one demographic. That's why some of these companies that are closing have such big footprints. And here's the catch. It's not just the 7,000 people that we mentioned, because I've talked to several CEOs and several other companies. I spoke to one on Saturday for a really long time. There are companies with bigger numbers than what we've already said that are going to be forced to close because of this, where they have no other business. They are permitted to have other business, but they have no other business. A lot of these companies were FedEx contractors, switched over to Amazon because they were making more money. Now Amazon's pulling it. They don't have FedEx anymore. Guess what happens? They're done. They close. The good part, according to what I've talked or people that I've talked to a couple of times, is they're not. I mean, the companies aren't going to go belly up because the companies were profitable. I mean, we're talking millions and millions of dollars, upwards of 25 to 100 million, depending on who the carrier is. It's crazy. And Josh on YouTube just said, interesting, why are they limiting it? So the reason why they're limiting it is, think about it. If you have a customer or a carrier that is servicing 8 states, 10 states, whatever, 3 states, if that something happens to that company and they go away, guess what happens? If the company fails, they're not losing one area. They're losing whatever that company covers. Because if you look at these companies that are clubbing, RCS, or closing, RCX Logistics had 5 locations in Texas, 3 in Florida, and 1 in Alabama. So if RCX went out on their own without losing the contract from Amazon, but say something happened, they got a nuclear lawsuit or something happened and they went out, Amazon would lose that entire reach. So what they started doing, and this started back in 2018, is they started franchising out locations, utilizing all the data that they receive, because all the systems, all the computer equipment, everything they have is Amazon. Amazon owns all the data to everything. So they see which lanes are profitable on the DSPs. They see all that information. If you think about it from a business standpoint, it's quite brilliant. They realized they didn't have the revenue to do it all themselves and to hire the personnel and to do everything. So they opened it up so outside carriers could do it, take on that expense while they had all the data. It's like, and they kept all the data. Now they see, okay, these companies are profitable. Look at it, you know, $50 million for one of these companies, what the total revenue they did with their one customer. Their one customer was Amazon. So now if Amazon comes in and says, hey, we're going to put our franchise area or franchise chucks in these areas because we're paying them less because we're leasing them our trucks and doing all this stuff, guess what happens? Amazon makes money. That's why they do it. That's their business, you know? It's crazy. A lot of these, like Josh said, it's genius plus Amazon Flex to back it up. Amazon has flexed, literally. I know it's kind of silly to say that, but a lot of people are saying, well, what happens with the power only, the relay guys? From what I gather, I haven't seen anything that is, I mean, Amazon pulls contracts left and right. They do it all the time. We hear about it all the time. Usually there aren't these layoffs. You know, usually we don't have where they're pulling a contract with when someone has 650 people that are all going to lose their job because a contract was pulled. It's crazy. Stephen D. Boyd on Facebook said also they can control third-party drivers and performance better. Yeah, I mean, it's them. They're running under Amazon's DOT number, Amazon's insurance, all that stuff. The crazy thing that some of these guys were telling me is Amazon literally gets every bit of detail. So you have to use Amazon's required payroll provider. They dictate the pay rate. So because Amazon pays its drivers $15 an hour, they went out to all their DSPs, their delivery service providers, and told everyone, you have to pay your driver $15 an hour. Now, that's not a bad thing if you ask me. But what happens to these drivers now that they're laid off and they've gotten paid $15 an hour to go deliver packages? I mean, it's kind of perplexing. It's crazy, man. I mean, there's going to be tens of thousands of people, well, over 10,000 people that are going to be laid off, according to my sources. You know, I know everyone else picked up the article, you know, after I made the video, which is cool. That means some of the competition and stuff are watching these videos. But I'm not concerned with how Amazon is concerned with the layoffs, man. That's what bothers me. You know, I'm all for Amazon doing whatever. You know, is it ever going to affect me directly with my job and my career choice? No, it's not, because I'm not a delivery driver. You know, would it affect me if I was? Yeah. But it's crazy. Stephen D. Boyd said couldn't do that to Amazon employee drivers. I don't know what you're talking about. They could lay them off. It's the same thing. What they did is they utilized these DSPs in the legacy program it's crazy. Now, these aren't the people that they're pulling these contracts from are not the franchisees. These are third-party companies. So it's different. The franchisee program that you see where it's $10,000 and you can, you know, be a franchisee and expand up to 40 trucks. They want to limit it at 40 trucks. They don't want you to have more than 40, and they don't want you to have other, you know, other people. Josh Marcus on YouTube said, will they get rehired under a new provider? It's possible, depending on what they are or what they have. But from my sources, the reason why they're pulling these contracts and not giving a lot of time to do it is because they already have the replacements in place. They've already built up the franchise programs in the area. So they're already built up. So there is no reason. So these drivers are not going to have any place to go. So it's weird, man. It's weird. The whole thing is weird. Now, this doesn't have to do with the Amazon Relay. That's what a lot of people ask it about is, what about Amazon? You know, there's a company, JW Logistics or something, that has apparently lost a contract or is losing a contract, although I haven't been able to find out anything. They've already laid off a pile of drivers, according to, you know, people that messaged me or commented on videos. Again, if I can't find it, I can't report on it because I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's someone just saying something. This is what I can report on. As of today, and I'm sure we're going to have more tomorrow. As of today, there's 7,000 people that are laid off. I know there's going to be an additional 250 to 1,000 laid off probably this week, because one company already told me they got their orders. They're done. And by mid-April. So they're getting the same time frame as everybody else. I've got calls in to the rest of the Amazon delivery providers that I could find in Southern Florida, because that's where I am. It's easy to find them. And pretty much any metro area to find out. So it's very, I'm wondering if they're doing it if it's a little bit more widespread. Because when you hear about one layoff that has a couple hundred people, it's sad, but it's just one layoff with a couple hundred people. When you report it week by week by week, and that's what I did. I reported, 200 here. Oh, that sucks. 130 here. Oh, that sucks. 150 here. That sucks. When you look at it from a whole picture and what they're doing and showing 7,000 plus people are losing their jobs. Yeah, some of them may end up finding new employment or some of them may go work for contractors. That's what the goal is for the Pinnacle Logistics. Pinnacle did all the air stuff, all the air freight. And for the cargo and the freighter airline stuff in, where was it? Baltimore and Chicago. So, you know, Chicago, they laid off 1,374 people. And in Maryland, they're laying off 1,609. And Amazon did go out and say that they are, you know, they want to hire those people. Why wouldn't they? Because they already know that those people know what they're doing. They know what they're, you know, everything. So David Quackelbaum said, evidently they're laying off as contracts run out. Yeah, it seems that way. You know, I saw all the other media outlets that were reporting this were citing performance issues. According to my sources there, it's a lie. They're just doing it because they have the program or they have their franchise program built up. Stephen Boyd said drivers let go by DSPs or Amazon would get hired by another DSP in the station next week. True, if they have that lanes. But the issue is, it seems like the lane is already covered. According to the people that I talked to, they started seeing a reduction on routes anyway. They started seeing a reduction on routes in the past couple of months as all these new franchisee programs were popping up and franchisee owners were popping up. And because these franchises are lacked and stopped, it's pretty interesting. I don't know what's going to happen. And I sincerely hope all these drivers are able to get picked up somewhere. But I know one thing. it's brilliant. And when you look at it from a business standpoint, you know, if you think about it from it, they used all the data that they collected by using all these DSPs to figure out which lanes are profitable. And granted, they're not going to be able to outsource every single lane and every single market, but they're going to be able to insource quite a few of those. And so they're going to have to keep some of these contractors out here or some contractors in rural areas. But it's really interesting when you look at it from how they did it and how they started, what was it, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when they started doing their own deliveries on a small scale. And now these blue vans that you see everywhere are crazy. And this is just in the United States. They placed an order for 100,000 electric vans for Europe. I mean, it's really nuts when you actually think about it. And what happens now when they actually switch to the power-only moves? That's what I'm really curious about. Someone asked for the call-in line number. I don't really want to put it out because, you know, someone was annoying last week and then I had to delete the video and it was a pain in the butt. So probably not putting it out unless I know who you are. But because you're anonymous, so I'm not putting it out. Roman said JW is focused on power only, pulling 53-foot trailers. Most of the volume went to Amazon Relay and dedicated carriers. Yeah, so that's happened a lot. That's happened, you know, as soon as Relay pulled out. Amazon, it's better for them to use independent carriers when they're doing the power only stuff. You know, it makes more sense than big fleets. So Ray Figueroa on Facebook said he's doing power only with them and I'm doing great. And like I said, I've got a bunch of drivers that I used to work with that I set up to work with Amazon, and they love it. They still are doing it every day. I see their settlements. They love it. So it's Amazon, or Stephen Boyd on Facebook said, Amazon does the same data mining techniques across their entire business. Amazon Basics brand or just products they figured out that they can make money on. Exactly. You know, I mentioned that on Friday. That's what they did. They figured out which products were profitable. So they just redesigned it and did the Amazon basics and then sell them themselves. Pads of paper. I think this pad of paper, look, what's that say? Amazon Basics. I buy Amazon stuff all the time. You know, they'll probably blacklist me now because I'm being critical of them, but I buy Amazon stuff daily, it seems, you know, but let's see. Roman said it's true about JW Logistics. I worked with JW in Washington State about a year and a half ago. They're just a shell of what they used to. They lost 80 to 90% of their volume. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about trucking. When you put all your eggs in one basket, just like these other delivery companies did, they saw Amazon. Amazon cranked up the work. Everyone was making a bunch of money. Then Amazon throttled it back because they have capacity. Then they started looking at data. They started looking at selling lanes for low. I mean, I saw a lane on the Relay app someone sent to me that was paying 68 cents a mile for a power-only move. And they throttle it back. They're keeping track of everything. They're saying, okay, can we do this? Can we do that? You know, they tried out day rates for a little bit, doing power only moves up in the Northeast for those small guys, the small fleets, three trucks or less, to do day rates instead, just to try to maximize their profit. And they're using, just like everyone else has said, all this data, all this information to figure out what works best for them. It's kind of crazy. I mean, it's brilliant. If you think about it, it's really brilliant from a business standpoint. It's brilliant. But when you hear about 7,000 layoffs in the field that are directly tied to Amazon, and then you read that he bought Jeff Bezos or Bezos or whatever the hell his name is, but buys $164 million mansion, kind of just hits that nerve a little bit. But Stephen Boyd on Facebook said they will continue to data mine anything they can for profit. It's business, not good for small business, but business. David Quackenbaum said it will end the same way with power only. I don't doubt that. I think they're going to, and then 2 or 3 years later, they'll tap into the brokerage market. They're still doing their beta testing brokerage stuff, you know, but the interesting thing I found out is, one, Amazon fully controls over everything that goes on with the DSPs anyway. You read that. When you read the employee reviews that are left for some of these companies that have closed down, you know that Amazon is the one that's pulling all those strings, you know? And they control over everything. Hell, you know, for me to find out that Amazon requires that you use their payroll providers, that is something. That is them trying to make sure 100% that they have every single bit of information about your driver, about how much you're paying them, how much they get paid per week and all that stuff, because they're using all that data. And that's what they did, is they sat down and said, hey, listen, we could do it cheaper ourselves. Let's insource it. Brilliant. You know what I mean? I'll put the number up. Guys, don't do the stupid thing. Whoever did that last week, I don't know who it was, but it screwed me up when you called in, or someone called in and displayed some stupid video thing. But that number's up. If anyone wants to call in and discuss this, we can do so. But let me play a commercial, get some water. Check this out. I'm simply the best, better than all the rest. Yeah.
What's a singing goat have to do with factoring? Nothing. Me
right now. There we go. So I think we're active. Oh, well, our phones are down, so let me just pull this down. But because our phones ended up crashing, I guess we lost internet just for a second. So now the phone system is down. Anywho, if someone really wants to call, they can call my personal Facebook page and then I'll answer it and put you on the air that way. So all right, Let's see what some of these comments are. Stephen Boyd on Facebook said, if you had five Amazon employees, wait, you had, oh, so you used to work with Amazon. I'm guessing that what that says. As a shift manager, the employees I had to monitor were DSPs. I had five Amazon employees and 120 DSP drivers. It seems like that's how it works for a lot of, you know, from what I was talking to one person, I'm doing a very good job of trying to keep them separate. Whoever's on hold, you got to call me on like Facebook or something, bud, because the phone line disconnected and I can't add it. So sorry. And I just hung up. Hopefully he can hear that. But yeah, it's crazy. The whole thing is crazy. It sucks. 7,000 people are going to end up losing their jobs. Granted, let's just say half of them are able to find new employment right away. If they're getting paid $15 an hour for driving and delivering packages, that's a pretty good gig right there. So I wonder, do they have the same requirement for the new franchisee delivery guys? From what I understand, it was almost, it looks like they kind of modeled their program off of FedEx, their driver qualification side, all that stuff. It's all crazy. Thomas, yeah, well, like I said, I have issues with the phone system. If we're friends on Facebook, you can call me that way. Otherwise, it's just not going to work today because it disconnected when I lost internet there for a second. So I apologize. But yeah, Amazon is it's brilliant if you think about it. If you really, really think about it and you look at it, and I even, like I said, I was talking to a high up with a company that's going to be affected by this. And I said the same thing. If you look at it from an outsider looking in, they knew they were doing it for a very long time. They knew when they started this and they started requiring all the data sharing and all that stuff, they knew it's because they wanted to see whether they can corner that side of the market. And then they decided they can, you know, and it works because when I get packages delivered, it works. You know, they're delivered fast. They scan it. They send pictures when they're here. It's a good system. It just sucks for the 7,000 people that are affected by it, even temporarily. It sucks. That's my opinion on it. So there's going to be more. I'll end up writing more articles this week, you know, about Amazon and the additional layoffs. And I'll check every single day because there's going to be more layoffs. I already know that firsthand. I've already talked to people that have confirmed. They're just trying to figure out how to do it. And what their exit strategy is. Cause it's not like, okay, we're laying off, you know, 20% of our employee base and we're going to stay open. These are companies that are laying off their entire employee base because they only had one customer and then they're closing their companies down. So it's a very big deal. It's not just easy. Like, okay, we're going to send a WARN notice in and just lay off, you know, 2% of our workforce like we normally report about. These are companies that are all closing for the most part. And if they're not, then they're drastically cutting back and they're going to end up closing eventually, especially with the rates and market and all that stuff. It's pretty sad. Josh on YouTube said he wonders if the future of Ancon will involve I'm guessing you say Amazon will involve competition with the UPS, FedEx, like shipping outside packages. They're already trying that. So that's the thing is there's been one article, one time about how Amazon was beta testing pickups from Amazon related businesses from, you know, and so they're testing right now, picking up from businesses and delivering through their network. Why wouldn't they? They have all these trucks that are running around just making deliveries and coming back empty. What happens if, they come here and then I have a package that's going somewhere else? It makes perfect sense. And they are doing it. It's public. They've been trying it in different locations to see if it works. But that's why I said on my video Friday, Amazon will be one of the larger, you know, I mean, they already are. They will take over FedEx. They will be as big as UPS. They will. That's what they're going to do. You know, they're trying to get into other outside markets and, you know, they've got Europe. They're sending, like I said, 100,000 electric vans to Europe. You know, UPS is trying with Waymo. So that in Phoenix, they're spending all their money. What is the right word for this? They're spending a lot of money, UPS is, to handle deliveries from or to automate using Waymo, which is an autonomous driver vehicle. You know, their Chrysler Pacificas, which doesn't make any sense because you have a driver in it, but they're just not controlling it. But they're making pickups from UPS stores and delivering those packages to the DCs and things. So it's the whole thing is just crazy. Freight tech is it's amazing, but there's just so much of it and there's so much to follow. But Josh on YouTube, to answer your question, 100%. The future of Amazon will include package delivery, outside package delivery. I 100% believe that. You know what I wish is I wish we had results for their enter into the broker sphere. Because remember last year we started hearing reports about how Amazon was going to begin brokering outside freight, utilizing their trailers up in the Northeast and to see what happens. We never heard anything else about it. Remember, we had brokers going, oh, crap, the job is over. Brokering is over. Amazon's getting it to it. It's all going to be over. Well, just like everything else, Amazon has been testing it. Who knows? I've reached out to my friends that are shippers up north, brokers up north, carriers up north, and we don't hear anything about it. They don't hear anything about it. So I'm very curious about that, you know, but we'll see. Because I think the next step is they're going to say, okay, all these drivers are going to get laid off. The additional 3,000 or so drivers are going to be laid off that are coming. That's next. And then they're going to start focusing on those power only moves. You know, do I think they'll all be able to get rid of Relay completely so it won't be open? I don't think that. But I think what they're going to do is they're going to start replacing these bigger companies that have these Amazon power only contracts. Hell, when I was running trucks, I used to do a couple of them. We had a couple of drivers that did power only stuff. I don't even know where they picked them up from. They weren't paying great, but the drivers loved them because they just drop and hook and drop and hook and they loved them. But it's, you know, and that was with a big broker. So it's crazy. Josh Marcus on YouTube said complete was Carvana and sell cars, but that's coming. Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't a full sentence. I think I may be missing something there. But yeah, it's crazy. If you look at freight tech and what it's doing, you know, everyone's worried about autonomous trucks and everyone's worried about this and that. I've got an article coming out tomorrow morning about a new technology that's coming. It's already been used overseas, and now it's coming onto the North America for warehouse automation and stuff like that. It's here. You know what I mean? Is it going to be able to replace every single person? No. Really, what it does, it makes the job easier. But the only thing I think, when you look at it from a trucking standpoint and you look about how slow people are loading and offloading trucks now in detention at shippers and receivers, what happens when that's a computer system that is coming in? It's like, oh, I got, you know, the dock isn't level enough, so it has to adjust. You know what I mean? It doesn't have like a real brain to think, you know, it's crazy. I think the time it's taken to load trucks, maybe other people will argue with me about it, but the time it takes now to load trucks with how much we've advanced and how much tech we've thrown into the warehousing mix has gone down or has gone up. It takes longer to load trucks. And there's all these different safety mechanisms and safety policies that everyone has to follow. Rowdy Duff said 20 years ago, Walmart was going to take over everything. There's still chances of that. You know, a lot of people are saying, would Walmart buy FedEx? No, they're not going to buy FedEx. You know who should buy FedEx, though? Amazon, just to shut them out of business. And I don't say that to be mean, but that's literally what they're doing now. They're just building another better, more powerful FedEx. You know, if you think about it. Josh Marcus said, sorry, I bet they will complete with Carvana, CarMax, and get and sell cars. You never know. I don't know if there's enough profit in it for them to do it. Carvana is pretty cool, actually, how it works. David said it takes a lot longer to load and offload. I know. But it's because of, you know, additional safety stuff that they're doing on the warehousing side. A lot of these distribution centers, especially the big ones, they're using automated technology or robotic, you know, technology to do it. It's not like it used to be where you're like, okay, section 1A, that's my pallet of flour. Let me go grab it. Now you're punching it into a computer, waiting for it to tell you. It's like section 1A, but you got to go all the way over to Z and then come all the way back this way because you can't run into the little robots that are moving crap internally. It takes a lot longer to pick up freight and deliver freight. You know, imagine when, you know, because they're already using it, the Port of LA uses the autonomous, I don't know what the hell they're called, autonomous sleds to move around the containers in the port. They're using that stuff in warehouses already. That's how they came up with the idea. What happens when that's fully automated? You know, I have an article. I think it came out, you know, a couple of minutes ago while I was doing this video. I'll double check on my website and see. But they just, in December, they beta tested. And nobody cares. Yeah, it did. So you can see on my website here, autonomous ship makes its first voyage. You know, it's everywhere. This is the future. This is what we have to look for. Freight tech and companies that are looking to, you know, I don't know, to take over the world. You know, this ship that's here, that this is just a little like one container ship. It's only, you know, 12 foot wide, 40 foot long, I think, something like that. But that's all they need. Once they test this out and they see it works and they start making these big container lines move it. David Quackenbaum says China has a fully autonomous port. It's crazy. It's really, really crazy when you think, and I don't think it's a bad thing. I'm not saying it's all a bad thing, but I think we need to do stuff. We have to remember trucking because you're never going to fully be able to automate trucking. It's not going to happen. Are we going to have trucks that are going to be fully autonomous? No. What I think is going to happen, at least in my lifetime and probably my kids' lifetime, is we're going to have a lot of driver assist stuff. So we're going to have like level 4 autonomy where you can like cruise control, stuff like that. We're automated braking in trucks, which, you know, they have now automated braking. So it senses that something stopped in front of you. So what's it do? It stops your truck. And then all the cars from that are traveling behind you with idiots that are playing, they're going to end up hitting them. You know, that's it. See, my thing is, the first time, because there's reports of this load of butter that went last year. Everyone starts resharing stuff that's old. There's a load of butter that went 2,800 miles in 3 days. That's what they say. I think the mileage is a little off. They had drivers in there. A lot of this stuff just, it makes crazy. Mike Timmy said, time to open up a lumber company. I have honestly thought about that. Because think about how much you guys pay lumpers. Carriers every day pay lumpers. It is a lot of money. I remember one time paying $720 to a lumper service. I had 10 skids, and they made those 10 skids into 30 skids. And it was $725 or something like that. It was nuts. And they just take each SKU, and they put each SKU on its own separate pallet and then charge you for it. When I had my trucks, my drivers all did it themselves, and I paid the drivers, and I charged my customer. My drivers all went. They said, how much is it going to cost? They got the lumper fee. They said, nope, we'll do it ourselves. We found out how much it was going to cost, and we billed our customer the same exact amount as the lumper. And they said, why didn't you use the lumper? Because we'll profit off of it. For what? We'll take my driver an hour, and you're going to build $700 or bill $700 for it? Lumper services are good. You know, it's. I'd be very curious on just how much a lumper service makes, because I see how much I've paid them as a carrier. I've paid them too damn much. Franklin said, or consider a new career in tech to repair and maintain these machines. That is true. I knew a guy once that had a job doing Xerox machines when Xerox machines were still around. I don't know if they are or not. The big copiers. Kid was getting paid like $25 an hour just starting out. Very little experience. Now imagine doing that when you have a computerized robotic arm in a warehouse where all of it does is pick something up and puts it down, picks it up and puts it down. But then the system breaks and that robotic arm stops. And you no longer have humans that are trained to do that job because it became so reliant on this stupid robotic piece of crap. And then you have to pay some expensive person to go and fix it. Robert Tyrell said lumper and pallet service. It does make sense. It does make sense that may be the future for it. especially if you're like one of these companies. The article I have out tomorrow is Geek Plus. You guys should look it up. It's actually a pretty cool tech, but it's basically this robot essentially that picks up this palletized like unit and moves it around a warehouse, and they can restage it, and that, you know, you could stage trucks for the next day. But think about that. If you become certified enough to be able to fix and repair those, hell, even sell them. You know, there was an article I put out a while ago. It's under the freight tech section of my website. I don't know where. But it was about another one that did the same thing. It was a picker. So it basically went and picked out. Where the hell is it? I'm trying to find out on the website. I don't know where it is. But it would pick out, you know, orders. And you still had to have an actual person there to prepare the order. But this robot would go slow as hell throughout the aisles, and it would say, oh, I want one white t-shirt, and it would pick the one white t-shirt. Oh, I want this, blah, blah, blah. And it's showing a person walking behind it, and the robot thing is moving so slow back and forth, and the person's just sitting there, like, just listening to music, being bored as hell. It's kind of crazy. Here's another one I don't think I talked about in my show, but you want to talk about where autonomous tech is going to be. Let me make this big and then I'll show you. This is a real. This is where federal tax money is going. So a Texas company showed off its idea of autonomous transportation aimed to move freight with ease. So let me tell you what this thing does. Just look at that picture. Just look how cool it looks with the whole, like, I don't know, cyber truck, like front looking thing, all weird shapes. And do you know what it is? It's a train that holds one trailer or one container at a time. This is where thousands, hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars are going to do this, to build trains that are in existence. Do I think trains need to be autonomous? Absolutely. Sorry, conductors. I got a buddy that, you know, I went to the fire academy with that now does something with trains. I think he's a conductor. But he said he'll be out of job. But think about it in terms of what you should autonomize. The cargo ships, 100%. Autonomize those. Those things are carrying a bunch of freight. You don't have to worry about coronavirus or any of that if computer systems are running it, right? Maybe not. I don't know. That could be a stretch. Or think about trains running through the United States. Why don't they autonomize those? Kind of would make sense, right? You got a train that's carrying 500 containers on it. Save yourself a little bit of money from the conductor and just have it be, you know, a robot that you can control. Because it literally would make no difference. You know, you have all the sensors and everything that tell, because that thing isn't stopping on a dime if something jumps in its way, that even with a human behind it, they're pressing a button as they feel or don't feel an impact. So why don't they work on autonomizing trains first and just say, and using that, because then you're not putting hundreds of humans at risk and all that by testing some stupid, you know, big truck or some goofy looking train like this. I don't know, because that's, I posted that online and a bunch of people are like, oh wait, here's a better picture. That's the front of this thing. It's done by the college, Texas and A&M. They're doing it. It's called the Freight Shuttle. You guys should look it up. It's part of the Texas A&M Transportation Institute. There is no expected release date though, because it's stupid. But that's my opinion. I don't know. All right, someone asked where my website is. It's freightbrokerlive.com. That is the website. Whatever, rowdy. Conductors, engineers, who cares? They're all the train guys. And their job should be autonomous pretty soon. Franklin Suro on Facebook said, machines are taking over, but they will always need human interactions to fix the machines. Probably. Right? Can you imagine that? You call a robot fixing or a robot service to come fix the robot. It's stupid. I don't know. I'm all for freight tech. I'm not trying to be super to criticize it that much. I'm all for freight tech. I'm all for the advancements of freight and trying to make things easier for us. If I have a car that will keep it, if I get drowsy and I start moving over, the car that gives a little vibrate or something, or if I'm coming too close, because it's happened in my car, that I was coming too close to someone, the car slammed on the brakes. that I would have hit that car if I didn't have that technology in my vehicle. I think that kind of stuff is fine. The new Audi, they don't even have mirrors on them. They have these little sensors. You know, the new Audi car, A6 or whatever the hell it is. It looks like a little camera, essentially, like a black carbon fiber camera that sticks out like the old mirror would, except on the inside of your driver's side door and passenger side door, there's a screen there. I mean, this tech's all, you know, out. Now I think DOT approved, so they can have the virtual cameras for mirrors inside trucks as well. I don't see a problem with that. Why do I not see a problem? Because the lens is going to be able to have a much larger line of vision than the human eye. So I have no problem with that. But then you get into all the what happens if someone hacks this crap, because that's going to happen. And for anyone who says, oh, no, it'll never happen, the technology is too secure, well, you don't know what you're talking about, because stuff gets hacked every day. Load boards get hacked. Cell phones get hacked. Computers get hacked. Everything does. Banks. So that's what you got to worry about too. If you fully autonomize a trailer or a train rather, what happens if you get some hacker dude in there that's like, oh, I'm just going to run this trailer 5,000 miles an hour off of a bridge, or it takes a turn and crashes, or it goes through New York City doing 700 miles an hour and wipes out, you know, buildings. That's why I don't think that we have a lot to worry about with autonomous technology. I could be wrong on it, but I don't feel like we do. I don't feel like it's a big deal in terms of the actual transportation of stuff like boats, you know, ships. I'm for. Even trains, I think it would still be good. It would make it easier. But, you know, planes, no. Don't autonomize planes. Don't autonomize semi-trucks. You know, it's not about jobs at that point. It's about, you know, human safety. I think I can't understand why anybody is spending money on autonomizing a semi-truck. There's so many other functions that you could do. Can you imagine? So just if I could invest technology that would set up this show every single time so I didn't have to do it, I would way, way quicker than I would ever in a semi-truck. I don't get it. People are weird. All right, let's read some comments and I'm going to end this show. If you can't tell, I keep it right next to an hour. So I've been working on that. Time to open up a lumber company. Yes, sir. I agree. I think it'd be good. Maybe we should all do that. Maybe I should stop teaching people how to enter the marketplace as brokers or carriers and to say, hey, listen, this is how you start a lumber service. Maybe that's where the business is going to go. Or here's an autonomous, you know, warehouseman repair service or something. I don't know. It's just crazy. I wonder if that would be a good job. Like, if you think about it, now I'm getting a little sidetracked here. But I wonder if you went like a staffing company, but you just focused. I mean, they already have them. But yeah, it's crazy. Because I've been successful at that on the broker side. Go into companies that are advertising for logistics managers or something. And just going in and say, hey, listen, how about I do that? And you put all the other stuff I can't do as an outside employee, put that to other people internally, because I'll save you money. You don't have to hire anyone. It'd be interesting to do it. I know I'm getting sidetracked here and not making sense, but whatever. That's what you do on a holiday. So make sure and Brittany is probably never going to sponsor me again because I keep forgetting. Do you know who this show sponsor is for the month? You could see it up there. It's Insurance Unlimited. Now, Insurance Unlimited, you may ask, who are they? Well, they are your number one referred total logistics insurance company. They specialize in commercial lot auto umbrellas. They are basically the trucking experts. So they write any type of policy that you could ever need in the transportation industry, whether it's cargo, GL, auto, contingent cargo, general liability for your trucking company, for your warehousing, for your new lumper service, insurance. For me, when I talk too much about Amazon, they try to sue me, whatever the case may be. They sell insurance for everything, health insurance, life insurance. She could put you in contact with people if she can't do it herself. But you guys should go over to INSUnlimited.com and talk to her. She was on Friday's show as well. She gave a lot of good insight into just why insurance premiums are you know, so high for new trucking companies. You guys can listen to that podcast, which was Friday's show, and every other podcast we do on iTunes, Google Play, all the same places you could find podcasts throughout the world. Our ranking went down. We're at like number 40, still the highest ranked freight podcast out there. But it'll go up. It's because yesterday and the weekend I didn't make a podcast. But make sure you guys follow this. Make sure you, keep freightbrokerlive.com bookmarked in your page, in your web browser or on your phone, whatever you do. That way you could see all the new news. If you go to the website, let me see if I could show you this. You can't see it because my face, but just about right here, which will be in the bottom copy, you can't even see that. So if you look where my mouse is on your screen, if you scroll down right about there, there's a red, I can't show it to you, unfortunately, but there's a little red bell. If you click that bell, you will get notified when I come live or when I do a live show like this. When I do it, if it's a good show, then I'll alert everybody. Otherwise, I don't. If I have breaking news over the weekend or after hours, typically I send a push notification out. I don't do it every single article because people would kill me because it's annoying. But what it does is it sends a notification to your cell phone. If you look at it from your cell phone, it sends it directly to your web browser if you're using it on your computer. It's actually pretty rad. And so when I have a good article or I have a breaking article or like today's video, I wanted to give an update on Amazon. So I sent a push notification out. And so everyone was notified. That's why we had a really, really high viewer count when I was talking about Amazon. And then it died down because nobody cares about autonomous, about us guys. You know, the people that actually work in the industry every single day, we're the ones who care about it. But for this and all other breaking news, make sure you tune to freightbrokerlive.com. Make sure you check out Insurance Unlimited because they are one of the better insurance companies, the best insurance company. And of course, OTR Capital, the best factoring company and the preferred partner for us. You can see them on the website on every single page. I really like those guys. I think they're a great factoring company and I think they can help everybody, whether or not you even work in logistics, you need invoice factoring, talk to them. They may be able to help you. They may not, but I go live every single day at 2:00 Eastern time. I will see you tomorrow.